The following program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. Welcome to Humanities Connection, production of WFDU-FM and the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. I'm Bob Mann. The Bethel AME Church in Morristown is a major part of Morris County history. It's the county's first black congregation, which is extremely appropriate because the New Jersey Council for the Humanities has issued a $10,000 action grant to Bethel AME Church to organize a series of public programs surrounding an exhibition about the history of free African Americans and race relations, both past and present, in Morris County. And my guest to talk about this is the Reverend Sidney Williams, who is the pastor of Bethel AME Church. Reverend, thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you. Glad to be a part of this morning.
Let's talk a little bit about something that I've been hearing from the Council for the Humanities going into 2018 as a theme in a lot of the grants that they give, and that is called Common Threads. Talk about Common Threads when it comes to the program that you're going to be doing on race relations and free African Americans coming up at Bethel.
Sure. So as we've been researching the history of this church, and considering some of the things that we're doing now to sort of build bridges in this community, we were surprised to find that many of the things we're doing are not new. One of the most interesting things we discovered in doing the research for this 175th anniversary is a book written called Out of the Briars by Alexander H. Newton, who was a former pastor of Bethel AME Church during the 1800s, who was a veteran of the Civil War. And he speaks very fondly of the pastor of the Presbyterian Church here in town. And apparently there were pulpit exchanges where he would go and preach at the Presbyterian Church during the early 1880s. So we thought that was fascinating. So the pastor of the Presbyterian Church currently and myself have discovered that our churches have had a long history together. And so it's been exciting to uncover that history and those common threads.
I take pride in knowing a lot about American history, but I really don't know enough, and it's a fascinating subject, African Americans who were free before both the Emancipation Proclamation and the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment is really what ended slavery in our country, because really what President Lincoln was doing with the Emancipation Proclamation was really more a wartime strategy than something permanent. So before 1865, you still had legalized slavery, but you did have free African Americans. Who were some of these people, and what was the type of life that they lived in New Jersey?
Sure. New Jersey is interesting in terms of northern states because it was, in fact, the last northern state to officially abolish slavery in 1865. However, there were both free and enslaved and indentured servant African Americans in New Jersey. As well as Native Americans who did not identify necessarily as Native Americans, but remained in this community and worked alongside of free Africans.
Free African Americans, though, obviously they were still victims of racism, I would assume segregation. Because of fugitive slave acts, some of those laws had to make even a free African American feel a little bit nervous, even in a northern state. And it certainly was a better life than what their fellow Africans were living down south, but it could not have been the ideal full share of American citizenship.
So, as I understand it, prior to the Reconstruction period, which took place after the Emancipation, New Jersey really kind of explored laws of public accommodation of both black and whites in public spaces. And so New Jersey is unique in a sense that while it was wrestling with the national issues, it also tried to be a leader in terms of how to share public space. So in Morris County, it was very divided. There were some families that were pro-slavery, sympathized with the South, but there were an equal number of people that were pro-emancipation and identifying their neighbors, their African-American neighbors, as full citizens. So, in fact, in 1870, there was actually a law passed that gave black men the right to vote. And so there were a number of things that were kind of interesting during that time period. However, Frances Jane Ray started Bethel after leaving the Presbyterian Church in 1841. Her and her husband initially started this church in 1843. And they were able to construct their first church building in 1849. So that says quite a bit about the community here in Morris County and what they were able to accomplish, even during discussions about fugitives and chattel property and the Dred Scott case. There was a thriving African-American community here in Morris County.
And it was a weird period, as you mentioned, a transition. 1804, technically slavery was made illegal in New Jersey, but there were all kinds of exceptions that went right up through the Civil War, as you had mentioned earlier. But when we opened the segment, and of course this program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities, we mentioned this $10,000 grant, sure. A series of public programs surrounding an exhibition about the history of free African Americans and race relations. So give us an idea about some of these programs. And I just want to have you keep in mind that our initial broadcast is January of 2018, but we repeat programs in the summertime, and also the program remains at www.njhumanities.org, you know, in an archive. So this could be for immediate broadcast or going down the year.
Sure.
So what are some of the programs that, you know, you have, some of the specific things that are going to be used as part of the public programs and the exhibition itself?
Yeah, so we're going to start this year off with an unveiling of three historical panels that help the community understand both the connection, the organization of our congregation, and the commitment of our congregation. The first panel speaks to our connection to the Episcopal Church in England and its movement to the U.S. through the Methodist Church, or Bishop Asbury, and our first pastor, or Bishop Richard Allen, who started the AME Church in 1787. And a little known fact, Richard Allen, our founder, was the only African-American eulogist for George Washington. And so we want to share that history on February 4th, with the community about sort of how we got our origins, and then share here locally how the Bethel AME Church in Morristown came into existence from formerly Presbyterians with the support of both the Methodist and the Presbyterian Church. And then finally, we want to talk about our commitment of embracing those who migrated here from the South after World War I, and then talk about our commitment to embracing those who come here from other countries, from the West Indies, from Central and South America, to start new lives here. So Bethel has had a 175-year commitment to helping weary travelers that come to our community, and we're still doing that.
Let's talk a little bit about people actually getting a chance to go to the February program, because, as I said, our initial broadcast is in January. Some people hearing reruns are hearing it on the web, obviously. You know, that has already happened. But for those who are listening to the initial broadcast, how can they take advantage of this? We broadcast into New York City, other counties in North Jersey beside Morris. How can they get a hold of you and take advantage of the initial program that you just discussed?
Sure. The church is located here in Morristown, 59 Spring Street, Morristown, New Jersey. We are having a pulpit exchange with the Church of the Redeemer, the Episcopal Church, in memory of our founder, Richard Allen, and Absalom Jones, who became the first African-American priest in the Episcopal Church. So that congregation will join us on Sunday morning, February 4th at 10:30 for joint service. The Episcopal rector or priest will be the chief celebrant that day here at Bethel. So that's open to the public February 4th. Come and see the unveiling of the panels and to learn more about the relationship between the Episcopal and the African Methodist Episcopal Church.
And AME stands for African Methodist Episcopal. Now, among Protestant denominations, those seem like different denominations, but I guess there was a cooperation. How did the whole AME concept evolve years ago?
Sure. So John Wesley, who was an abolitionist and evangelist, some would say he was a theologian, but he was an Episcopal priest. And he started what was later become known as the Methodist movement. And so that name stuck. And in the United States, we had what was called the Methodist Episcopal Church, which is now known as the United Methodist Church. They changed their name in 1968. But prior to 1968, they were the Methodist Episcopal Church. And then in 1787, due to issues of race and discrimination, the African Methodist Episcopal Church was born. But we still share much of the Episcopal traditions, as well as the Methodist traditions. And then for the African Methodist Episcopal Church, we've embraced some of our own sort of African spirituality, the use of drums and more soulful or, what's the word?
Possibly contemporary, more relatable music and cultural
A little more lively.
Okay, all right, that's a good way to put it. One last thing. You mentioned that some of these programs have to deal with race relations past but also present in Morris County. What are some of the things that you're going to be tackling in terms of the present? Because obviously the humanities embraces so much of history, but yet history's real value is for the present day. So what might you be dealing with in terms of present-day race relations and those issues in Morris County, New Jersey?
So I think that the biggest challenge now, and this speaks to our second event on February 9th and 10th, the biggest challenge now is in our nation, we probably at this point are revisiting some of the divisions that we thought we had moved past around the issues of race. And so we've kind of lost the ability to have a conversation around these difficult issues. And so on February 9th and 10th, we're holding a facilitated dialogue here at Bethel, and we've invited persons from law enforcement, from public education, from the various communities of faith to engage in a dialogue, you know, and learning how to hear each other, as well as to share what needs to be said without being divisive or attacking, but learning the principles of nonviolent communication. You know, how can we be in community and do more than agree to disagree, but how can we appreciate the diverse views and live in community with each other? So we're going to host that conversation on February 9th and 10th as a part of this sort of celebration and with the support of the Humanities Grant. And we think that's an important conversation needs to be had.
There are so many important conversations, and it looks like you're tackling an awful lot. We really appreciate your being here and sharing with us on Humanities Connection.
Thank you.
And it's a grant to the Bethel AME Church to organize a series of public programs surrounding an exhibition about the history of free African Americans and race relations past and present in Morris County. Our guest has been Reverend Sidney Williams.